He's our voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
I have to be honest, I did not even plan this, but Dr. Brown, I have to play that song, even though it's not technically talking about new health studies. But man, have you seen all the articles that just happen to have come out this week, all having to do with scents that are pretty common for the average person? Good morning. Have you seen what I'm talking about? Where is he? Where's Dr. Brown? Eric, is he there? Did you mute me again? Dr. Brown, did you mute me again?
Oh.
Oh, I love it. Oh.
Dr. Are we good?
Yeah, no, I can hear you now. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Okay, so you didn't mute me. I mean, that's been happening.
I did
a lot
not
lately.
Mute you. I did nothing. No.
Okay, not
no,
this time.
I was enjoying the song.
Right? I mean, who doesn't love Lynyrd Skynyrd at this early in the morning?
But I know.
It felt very fitting. Have you seen the articles I'm talking about? There was one talking
I have.
About okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
I, have.
I thought this was an interesting one, especially because one of them has to do with the smell inside your car, like a new car smell, but even just the average car, especially going into the warmer months. I guess we'll start with that one. This is a new study out of Duke University and the Green Science Policy Institute. Sounds very official. It says that the air inside of some vehicles made since 2015, they could be polluted with flame retardants, some potentially neurotoxic or carcinogenic. I never can say that word. Carcinogenic? Is that how you say it? Carcinogens.
Yeah, carcinogenic.
There you go. Basically, toxic smells inside, which I think that's really fascinating. They said it could be a lot worse for people if your car isn't ventilated, for example. You have that warm air in there. Let's talk about this.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And again, I think you just need to be careful whenever you're have a new chemical smell. I mean, listen, I we've talked about this before, and I think it, just so we're clear, the study is, I mean, again, Duke University is a great university, no question about that. The study, I did during the break, we were able to take a quick look at the study itself. And just, you know, again, I think there's just a little bit of an embellishment here. So just so we're clear on that too. There's not necessarily a direct correlation between you being in your car, you know, for an extended period of time when it's brand new and getting cancer.
That's why we like to go through these studies.
Yeah.
Cause again, I mean, when I see those words, even though I can't pronounce them correctly, especially when I'm on the air, which is embarrassing, but you know what I'm saying? When you see that word, you know that is, you always hear the cancer causing chemicals. And so when you see that, you're thinking, oh my gosh, how many times have you gotten into a warm car? I mean, I can tell you I have. Good God.
Exactly. And I think the concern is, I think the bigger concern is that some of the things that you use, like the flame retardant, I think that, you know, that is made out of a pretty hefty chemical. And the concern is that chemical itself, if we have extended exposure, if rats have extended exposure, they develop cancer related to it, which again is not that surprising, right? We know that anything I think that the term is organophosphates. We know organophosphates, which can be in a lot of different things, including even fertilizer, can be a concern for cancer production. But you have to be, you know, you really have to be like very close to it, persistent period of time, et cetera. So, I mean, I don't want to downplay it too much. I mean, obviously, you need to be careful whenever you smell something weird like that, or there's an overabundant smell. But, you know, we're talking about a potential risk or probable risk.
But maybe just to cut down on really, and I always say when there are things that I have control over to kind of, I guess, elongate my life, I'm going to do it. So would you still recommend people ventilate their cars?
I would. I mean, I always think that keeping your windows open, especially in the spring when the weather starts turning like now, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's always worthwhile to do that.
Okay.
So I think nothing's better than fresh air.
Yeah, exactly.
The further
logical.
Away from here, the fresher.
There you go. I like that. And again, we have Dr. Brown here. And as we continue to talk about common sense, yes, I did that on purpose. We're going to go,
you did.
Right? Don't you love it?
I was waiting for it, Melissa. I was waiting for it.
I tell you. He Sometimes I think you and I share one brain, which can be very scary. But for me, it's very convenient because I don't have to prep you, which is always wonderful for this show. Let's go from the car smell to the smell of food cooking, because new research is saying it could be a sign of air pollution. This is a new study from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration saying that underappreciated sources of urban air pollution could be detected in cooking, apparently. It says the researchers say cooking accounts for nearly a quarter of volatile organic compounds in the air. Okay. So to me, that's another one that oftentimes when you're cooking and you got the smoke in your house, whatever, this is now sort of putting things into question. I mean, air pollution, that's a big term to drop.
It is a pretty big term. And it's very interesting because there's been studies out for a long time about, cooking. We're talking about, significant smoking, like literally smoking food and other issues. There's always been some concerns about, how close are we to that? Is it well ventilated? And that's why it's important to, when you do cook, to ventilate well. The smell itself should not be an issue. Like if you go into a house and you smell something that has been cooked, that's not an issue. When you're over a stove and it's literally fumes are coming in your face, that's a whole different story. And that actually has to do with grilling also. So if you're grilling and charring food, there's definitely a concern about getting that sort of smoke in your face and inhaling it, because it does have potential toxic gases. Just by cooking in itself, I mean, that's carbon monoxide, that's nitrogen oxygen, that's, hydrocarbons, which sort of come off of that. And then it's always not always a great idea to eat every meal as barbecue or grilled or burnt. That can actually be difficult. That can actually lead to issues later on in life.
That's interesting too, because it's interesting, Dr. Brown. I didn't know that, and I know for a while we like to prep. We like to meal prep on the weekends,
sure.
So because of our schedules and stuff. But for a while, I haven't done it in a long time. But in the summertime, especially, we used to just do a huge grilling. Just grill all our vegetables, grill all of our meat in the summertime, and then prep all of that food for the week. But it was all grilled food. I didn't realize that you shouldn't.
Yeah, you just need to be a little careful, in particular. Not necessarily as much vegetables, more meats.
Meats, interesting.
Yeah, meats are a little bit more concerning. And again, when we're talking about sort of that black charred, as opposed to sort of just lightly grilled. And then we're doing different things now. Right now, we have the flat cooks that are there, which have kind of a different aspect as opposed to the fire grills.
Right. And I would think air fryers are fine, though, right? We're not talking about the same thing with air fryers, or
we're not talking about the same thing with air fryers.
Just making sure. You never know.
Air fryers are a little bit different. It's interesting, and you brought it up. It's interesting too.
Oh, sure, blame me for the research.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is where I think it's important that people realize that, meats in particular, I think you got to balance them out. Every meal does not need to be a heavy meat meal, because that's always the concern. The more meats that you eat, the more potential chemicals that can be trapped within them.
Yeah, that's true.
It just makes sense. I'm not, I'm not touting a vegan lifestyle per se, but I am saying that, be a flexitarian. When the spring starts coming and summer starts coming, fresh fruits and vegetables have always been the key. Wash them. Whole foods, whole vegetables are really healthy for you.
We've only got Dr. Brown for a couple more minutes, and I apologize. It was a very busy health week here, and we had a lot of questions on this particular story as well. We're talking about sort of the spring and summer season. Lemonade is a very common drink for a lot of us here in Connecticut, including our kids, but also adults. And this story really concerned a lot of people, Dr. Brown, as you could probably imagine. Panera Bread pulling the plug on its highly caffeinated, charged lemonade after it was blamed for at least two deaths, including a New Jersey woman. And I want to just make this very clear, that these were deaths for adults. So as we talk about this a little bit, when I was reading through this, they were saying that this drink had I don't quote me, but I think it was like 33 teaspoons of sugar or something in it. I mean, it was insane amounts.
Yeah.
And again, these were two people who did have underlying conditions. One who had a chromosomal, I think, deficiency. The other one who had a heart condition. So, okay, fine. The question we got from a lot of our listeners, though, is, again, whether it's a kid, adult, doesn't matter. I mean, this to me could happen to any fast food joint, and any real eatery, if you don't have control over the ingredients going in. What is the appropriate amount of sugar? I mean, especially, you know, I don't think there's any signage showing how much sugar is contained in these types of drinks. So is that something you should be asking, you know, somebody? That's kind of your own personal preference. But the question is, Dr. Brown, what is a dangerous amount? Like, what is an okay amount of sugar to have in a drink?
So I think you need to be careful when you are drinking sugar in itself, and limiting the amount of sugar is a good thing. And I don't know if people realize, but over the past, you know, 10, 20 years, there's been a transition from sugary soft drinks from just having sugar in it to now having high fructose corn syrup, which
is that
sweeter.
Like to make it the more energy too, or no?
That's no, that's actually just sweetness to change the sweetness related to it. So I think people need to be really careful. I gotta say I'm a label reader. I do like to look at labels and say, okay,
same.
What you know, what am I actually drinking? What is actually there? You know, even if I do a diet drink or something along those lines, what is in it? What does that mean? And what's the longer term issues associated with that? I think with the Panera thing. And this is sort of one of my actually is sort of those weird favorite topics that I have about the concerns about caffeine. Because when it came down to it, it had quite a bit of sugar in it, but it had almost, you know, you could have gotten, and again, they give you a range. It could have had three times the amount of caffeine that a cup of coffee has.
That's insane. That's wild.
And that's the issue. And people forget about caffeine. And just like we're making that transition from regular sugar to high fructose corn syrup and sugary, you know, things that basically have more sugar and less natural, caffeine in itself is one of those that has a lot of side effects. I mean, you'd be surprised how many physicians actually see patients who have, you know, tachycardia, so rapid heart rate, you know, anxiety, you know, maybe even sometimes low-grade fever, sweats. And then they do a full evaluation, don't find anything, and then find that they're drinking, you know, 4 to 5 cups of coffee a day or 2 to 3 energy drinks a day. You know, and you know, you don't even think about it. You're like, okay, well, I'll just have, you know, I'll have a Monster. I'll have another cup of coffee. That is particularly dangerous. And not only do you get side effects when you drink it, but you also get withdrawals. Significant withdrawals if you stop drinking it. So it's really interesting, especially I think it's very interesting because especially in this world where, you know, we are, you know, in the U.S., you know, we work a ridiculous amount of hours. We're always, you know, we're kind of stressful people, right?
Yeah.
You know, we add caffeine on top of that, which adds to that anxiety. I mean, it is definitely an anxiety-producing medication. And again, I call it a medication because really it is. I mean, it's an over-the-counter, you know, medication if you ever wanted to get it, caffeine itself. So I think that is the bigger part. And in turn, this, you know, this poor girl who had a cardiac condition wasn't aware that there was a significant amount of caffeine in the drink and drank it. And basically what happens is it makes your heart go fast, makes your blood pressure go up. It causes, you know, and when you have an underlying cardiac disease, it can kill you.
Yeah, it's so scary. And I think, again, it's not to scare people, but I do think,
no.
Dr. Brown, it is really important to just even bring awareness about the shift in ingredients that are used when you go out. And I think, you know, that could go for anything. I know you and I have talked before about, like, even salad dressings. People can't understand, you know, I ate a salad at lunch. Why are the calories 1,500 calories for a salad?
Right.
Well, because you don't know what's in that dressing. I mean,
it's
wild.
Exactly.
But, you know, if you're not looking at what the breakdown is, not even just calories, but ingredients. That's the key there, because, I mean, you could have a meal that's 800 calories and you're like, man, what's going on here? But it doesn't have a lot of ingredients in it. It's just it's healthy fats or whatever it may be. But if you're eating a meal that has ingredients in there that could have really significant effects on your body, that is something you have to look out for and just really think about. I mean, I love what you said there, Dr. Brown, that when you go places, you check labels. I know for myself, I refuse to you know, really get sugary drinks or anything. I'm a water person. I just get water. Even my son, I've kind of trained to just get water, because when he goes out, they'll give him apple juice and I taste it and I'm like, this doesn't even taste like apple juice. This is just pure sugar. And even if I water it down, I'm like, wait, I don't want to drink half of this and then give him the other half. Like, I don't even want him having it. And so it's just something to think about when you go out, you know, maybe just either getting the water or bringing a water bottle with you, whatever the case may be. But
yeah, water bottle, filtered water. I mean, anything that, honestly, you can't go wrong with water. I mean,
no, you can't, right? What can they possibly do to water? Good.
You know what? You're good. I mean, not that they don't add caffeine now and flavors to water, but I mean, listen, you have that. And then there's, you know, there's enough out there. Also, if you want something different besides water, you can get, you know, sparkling water. I mean, listen, I wouldn't go crazy too much on that either, but I think that's where it's important to know. And really, I could tell you that, and I don't know if you're the same way, Melissa, but I could tell you that, you know, that my transition as I've gotten older is my preference is to eat at home.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I like
exactly.
to cook.
Just cooking at home. Yeah.
And I know what I'm putting in it. I know when I make a dressing, I know, you know, what olive oil I have in it. You know, I know.
That's true. Exactly. You're right. That's true. That's another thing. Absolutely. And we've thought about that too. And that's definitely changed the way that we go out as well. That's a really good point. Dr. Brown, I appreciate you weighing in on all of these health stories this week. And I know we'll have a slew of them next week as well. Thank you.
My pleasure, Melissa.
All right. We'll talk to you again soon. Dr. Brown of Griffin Health here on WICC.